living by faith, the salvation of faith. Hebrews 11, verse 31 says, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. You know, living our lives in God equips us to experience many blessings, blessings that we would never otherwise have the ability to enjoy. Faith is the key. It's the key that unlocks the bounty of God's goodness and provision in our life. And we have seen this illustrated throughout this chapter, the study, through the many lives that we've looked at. And yet, for all the great blessings of faith, there is one blessing that's greater than any of the other blessings. You know what blessing that is? It's one provision that's impossible to come by without properly placing your faith in God, and that's the blessing of salvation. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans 3:28 says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. In Luke chapter 7, it records in the life of Jesus when he sat in the house of Simon, a curious Pharisee, and they were eating, and a sinful woman came in with an expensive alabaster box filled with expensive ointment, and she wept, and she washed Jesus' feet with her tears and anointed the feet of Jesus with the contents of that box. And it upset the Pharisees, but Jesus told this woman that though her life had resulted in ruin, now her sins were forgiven. Amazing. Forgiven sins, but how? Well, in verse 50 of Luke 7, it says, and he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. And so the writer of Hebrews moves to the life of Rahab and gives testimony of her faith. Faith that brought many wonderful works in her life, but to the Lord, the most important, profound product of her faith and her in her life was her salvation. Rahab was a harlot who lived in the walls of the city of Jericho, the city we studied last week. And that city was destroyed by faith. And amazingly, while faith was taking down the walls and leading Israel to the destruction of the city, faith was also hard at work in saving souls, particularly a sin-filled woman named Rahab. Now you know for certain that if you died today, heaven would be your home, if you've exercised faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can know that. We can know it through faith. 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. That belief is faith. And so God has provided us a plan. Through faith, we receive salvation through Jesus Christ. Now, we notice, first of all, tonight, there is a penalty of unbelief. Salvation requires the exact opposite of unbelief. Otherwise, it's not salvation at all. The exact opposite of faith is unbelief. And you can choose unbelief, but unbelief bears a penalty. For instance, if I were able to manage to climb up on the roof of this building, everybody said, no, don't do it, don't do it. Don't do it. You're not allowed on ladders. Well, if I was able to do that, And I went to the highest peak there and decided I was going to jump off, and nothing was going to help me or hurt me. My unbelief would have a consequence. Right? And that's what our passage tells us here, that Rahab perished not with them that believed not. So in Jericho, there was plenty of penalty. There was a penalty for plenty of those who were not believing God and the testimony of his power. So first of all, we notice the situation. Israel approached the first city in their campaign to take possession of the promised land. The city of Jericho had sent spies into the city. And if we go back to the record of this in Joshua chapter 1, and Joshua chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there." So we notice Rahab and her condition. Rahab in her past life is a picture of individuals who've never been saved. And we notice how this is true. First of all, she was defiled. She was a harlot living in a lost pagan city. The lost person is helpless and hopeless in their condition. Their sinful condition renders them unclean and unable to have fellowship with God. Secondly, she was dead. That is, spiritually dead. She was living a life, but spiritually she was devoid of life. She was dead in her sins. That's the condition of every person outside of a relationship with the Lord Jesus today. Spiritual death, not physical death, but a spiritual death that always ends in the second death. And then thirdly, she was doomed. As a resident of Jericho, she had a death sentence hanging on her head. She had already been judged by the Lord and didn't even know it. And that's the same thing that's true concerning every person who doesn't know Christ. The sentence has been passed and judgment has been set. And in spite of her lifestyle, in spite of her pagan background, in spite of her lost condition, God had given her 40 years worth of grace and warnings. How much time has he given us? How much time did he give you before you were saved? Now, if you're saved, you can think about how many times the Lord called on you before you responded. And you can think, you know, what a gracious God we have. Now, the spies told Rahab what God was about to do. Notice her response, and we have that in verses 9 and then following through verse 18. She said unto the men, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed." So she says, she's giving testimony of what they had heard. And so she's pleading with them in verse 12, "I pray you swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness to my father's house." And so we see her response here. The situation was bleak. Destruction was coming, but she had heard of Jehovah and believed that he was the true God. This caused her to respond to the spies in faith. And because of her faith, God saved her. Now, not everyone was saved, were they? Jericho was utterly destroyed and would never be built again for another 500 years. So why was the situation so bad? Well, notice secondly, the standard. God was judging the city of Jericho for rejecting him. Jericho had was known to participate in many of the pagan and heathen practices common among the people of Canaan. But God's standard is holiness. He requires it. His standard is perfection. The problem is everyone had fallen short, and every one of us has fallen short. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jericho had fallen short. We have fallen short. And so we come to the separation. For the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. Ezekiel 18:20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And nothing can bridge that gap. Some try good works while others try performing a religion. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Now, if someone committed murder and admitted to it, and then they went before the judge and they tried to say, listen, judge, here is a list of all the good things I've ever done. And look at how honorable my conduct has been in the past. You think that'd work? No. It wouldn't work. A lifetime of good deeds never erases the murder. And so it is with God. It's like trying to go to Hawaii. Anybody want to go to Hawaii? No? Yeah, it's a great place to visit, I understand. Anybody been there? One, two, three. It's great, wasn't it? Okay. So what I've heard is true. But what if you tried to go there without help? You can't jump over there. You can't even walk over there. You can't run. You could try to swim. It's a long ways to swim. And you could even fly there on your own. As if you could get your arms going fast enough. Well, if you fly in a plane, that requires assistance. And a way must be prepared for you by someone else. Either by building a bridge, and that'd be a long bridge, or building a vessel, a ship. That'd take a little time. Fastest way is by plane. And hopefully nobody objects to you not wearing a mask. Anyway, you could get to Hawaii, but not without help. And so it is with salvation. You can't get there without help. You have to have the help of God. So there's the penalty of unbelief, and so that help is the pardon of faith. Rahab gave a well-grounded reason for her faith. We look at Joshua chapter 2 again and go back to verse 2. It says that it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that were with thee, which are entered into thy house, for they are come to search out the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said, thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whether the men went out, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords, and soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate, and before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. Faith that leads to salvation is grounded in the message of God's word. The Bible tells us, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we find that in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. But you notice there the substitute. By the time the spies arrived in Jericho, Rahab had already been visited by the Lord. And before they have a chance to even tell her who they are, she tells them that she knows all about them and about their God. Turns out she knew a lot. Rahab had probably already repented of her sins and looked to God for salvation before the spies arrived at her door. Now, it mentions here in verse 6 something about flax. The mention of flax drying on the roof may indicate that she had already changed her profession. You see, flax was used in the production of linen cloth. And because we're all sinners, both by nature and by choice, in order to secure salvation, a substitute is necessary. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So Jesus is our substitute. He became the sacrifice for our sins. He paid the penalty. Of course, a great passage on this is Isaiah 53. "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities." A wonderful passage in Isaiah. So he was our substitute. And then we notice the salvation. In verses 9 through 11, we see there that what she confessed. She confessed that she knew some things about the Lord and that she had heard some things about him as well. And so she called him by his covenant name. She called him Lord, Jehovah. She confessed her faith and truth of what she had heard. She confessed what she had seen and heard about the Lord. She confessed the fact that Jehovah is the only God. She confessed her need for a relationship with him. She confessed the fact that she was lacking what the spies enjoyed. And that was a relationship with God. And then in verses 12 and 13, notice what she claimed. Rahab claimed salvation from the coming judgment on the basis of simple faith. She took what she heard and what she knew to be true as an invitation to the Israelites. She turned from the gods of Jericho to embrace the God of glory by faith. Rahab's confession is a picture of how salvation comes to a lost person. A lost person hears the message and the Spirit of God touches the heart. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The lost person sees the need and claims the invitation of the Spirit of God to come to Jesus by faith. Now, it sounds too simple, too good. But that's how salvation comes to everyone who receives it. There's only one way. Again, Romans chapter 3, where we have verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death." What about the verses prior to that? Verse 19 says, "Now we know what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth shall be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Salvation comes through trusting Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin. So we looked at the penalty of faith, a penalty of unbelief, the pardon of faith, and then the peace of receiving. And so once Rahab arrived in the Israelite camp and saw the destruction of her city, I'm certain she was glad. We have a debt to God, but that was settled on the cross of Calvary. Romans 5:1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And with the settlement comes a peace that cannot be described. Philippians 4:7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so there's the settlement, or the settling, but there's also the sonship. Salvation brings the privilege of being a part of the family of God. Rahab, remember, was a Gentile. Gentiles were to remain separate from the Israelites because of their pagan ways. But because of Rahab's faith, she was allowed access, unique access, to the nation of Israel. Rahab not only became a part of the family of Israel, but also the part of a family of Jesus Christ. All you need to do is check Matthew chapter 1, right? Rahab married Solomon and had a son named Jesse. Jesse had a famous son named David. And well, David's famous son would one day be Jesus Christ himself. So salvation is deliverance from the penalty of sin. That's justification. It's a deliverance from the power of sin. That's sanctification. And the presence of sin, that's glorification. And so here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, you have this wonderful little verse about Rahab. It's a picture of all lost people in their sin. And the only way to come to Christ and have peace in your life is by faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And putting your faith in Him. The salvation of faith. Let's bow in prayer. And then we will go into our business meeting before we take some prayer requests. But let's bow in prayer as we close our Bible study. Father in heaven, thank you for this time in the Word of God. Thank you for salvation. We pray, Lord, your blessing upon lives of our church family. We know that know the testimony of many folks here tonight put their faith in Jesus Christ. Perhaps there's some in our church family, some young people or some folks that are living on a list of good deeds, but we know that won't get them to heaven, won't make them a child of God. So we pray, Lord, that we'll see folks saved, even in our church family, people that we know, and then people that we come in contact with each and every day, from time to time. Help us to be a testimony and help them to realize the need to put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for our community as well and the need for people to come to Christ, even in our own community. So, Lord, we pray your blessing of this lesson to our hearts tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to